Hey everybody, my name is Frost and welcome to the HD podcast. This is episode 6, take 2. Apologize for the audio issues yesterday. Today we're going to be discussing the season that was for Wiltshire, season 144. A contentious season, a dramatic season, a little toxicity, but we'll go through it all in this podcast today. The good, the bad, the ugly, and there's no better person to do this with than the co-host of the HD podcast and champion of Wiltshire season 144. He's won his third season of the year in 4 tries. It's Mr. Chicken Eater 3. What's going on, man?
Hey, thanks for having me. And it's good to be on the receiving end of the interview, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And I've got some big shoes to fill. I really think you do a good job of bringing good answers out of people, and I'll try my best to fill those. So we're going to talk a little bit about your story, a little bit more about you in case people don't know, and then we'll go into the season. So it's funny, one of my first memories about you was that you ate a lot of chicken, right? And there was another chicken eater at the time. And the other thing I remember was that you were an avid Rubik's Cuber. And so that's a something that requires an intense level of skills, high level of skills. Would you say there's anything transferable between cubing and HD? Are there any sort of transferable skills that you have?
Yeah. Apply? So for a little background info, I was a world-class speed cuber over 10 years ago. I was ranked second in the world at one point, so I was very good at cubing, and I kind of made it my life. I was practicing hours and hours a day, and I worked really, really hard to be the best I could. I don't know if I'm a world-class HD player because HD is like so much smaller than Rubik's Cube, but I try my best, and I think the effort I put into all the other stuff that I've done in my life transfers really well into HD. From a skills perspective, I mean, Rubik's Cube is a sport with very, very thin margins. So if you make a small mistake, you can probably bet that your chances of winning are pretty low. And I think that shows off in HD as well. Small mistakes are oftentimes, if you play at a very high level, can punish you. And it really sucks because once you make the mistake, it like kind of stays with you for the entirety of the season. But the process of improving is also similar. You pay attention to very small details. You become aware of your mistakes, and you're competing in a very high-pressure environment. And I think that's what cubing brings, and also what HD brings. Except one good thing about HD is that like it doesn't rush you because you have an entire day to plan what you're doing. In cubing, you're not so lucky because the seconds go, and you can't really escape until you're done. But I grew up in a high-pressure environment. I thrive in high-pressure environments. And it's pretty cool to play HD because it just reminds me of the pressure. The last thing is cubing teaches you very, very early on that the world is full of very talented people. And I can say the same thing about HD. There are tons of good players. It's very easy to lose to some of these good players. And it's almost, if you don't lose, it's almost easy to like almost lose. So there are a lot of very skilled, threatening people, and I think anybody, if they like buckle down and they use their brain and engage really, really hard, they can become threatening in HD, kind of like what Lance did this season. Like the dude was just, you know, he was on a mission in the early game and he played it really well. So anybody can do that, and when that happens, there's a ton of pressure, and how you operate under that pressure is what, you know, that's the thrill of HD.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's funny, like I come from a place more of comfort. And so I think there's a really interesting contrast between our playing styles where you thrive in pressure and I see comfort. you've been able to use these transferable skills and really thrive under pressure, having won 15 HD seasons through various different eras. This is not somebody, guys, who just beat up on people in 2020. Chicken Eater's been doing this for a really long time. He's won in all different eras against a wide range of competition. And so, I mean, I have to ask the question, you know, 15 wins, that's tying you for second all time. You're tied with Melchi. Mm-hmm. And you're still trailing YB. You're still second to YB right now. But, you know, how does it feel, though, right now? 15 wins, it's the most out of any active player.
Yeah, so I'm very well aware that YB is currently not playing, and neither is Melchi. And I know that if they had played more, they would probably have more accomplishments and more season wins. And if I had played more, maybe during that slow time, I would also have more crowns. So I think the crown measurement is only one way to assess how good a person is. I think these people don't really need crowns or accomplishments to explain their skill. It's really obvious they're very, very good. For me, the crowns are cool, but I'm just looking to play the way I want to play that makes me happy. So last season, that didn't really happen. I didn't play very well, and it was very frustrating and kind of shameful, honestly, because I usually have a very high standard of play, and then it just fell apart last season. So this season, I was a lot happier with the way things went, and as long as I'm playing to a level that I'm happy, I'm just happy to play, and I don't really think about the results too much. I just want to keep going in a sort of environment that makes me pleased with my actions.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that's why we all come to HD, right? We have a way we want to play, and as long as we're able to do so in a way that's healthy, it brings enjoyment on a daily basis. And so, I mentioned it earlier, you've won over, again, a variety of different eras. You've seen a lot of different iterations of HD as it's grown, whether it was the era where we had duelists as defenders, whether it was like Dungeon Guard days, and like we've had a lot of different iterations of HD over the years. And I would want to ask you, as someone who's played for a long time, and myself playing for a long time, I'm really curious to know what changes have impacted your gameplay the most, your strategy, and how have you been able to adapt and win in each of these eras?
So the changes mostly come from the players understanding the game better. I think the biggest thing that impacted the way I play is losing to YB and Beck. Just sucks to lose, but it
Two
teaches you.
great players.
Every time you lose, it teaches you just how scary a good player can be. So to give you an idea, everyone's equal on day one, right? Like nothing happens, and then day two, three, four, you're relatively equal, and then maybe on day five, you'll realize that they're 2 points ahead of you, and then a week in, they're somehow 15, 20 points ahead of you, and then they just keep reaping the maximum amount of points every single day at every single juncture, and you can tell that every small detail is being considered, and they're just taking everything, just taking and taking and taking, and you feel like you're being suffocated because no matter what you do at that point, you know that you can't beat a player that always takes to the maximum, and they're so good at making you feel like crap that like in some sports, like they make you feel like the court is really small and like you don't have that much margin to hit the ball or to do some other action because it just makes you feel like the margins will disappear if you don't play right. And I think those players rob you of your margin. And so playing against those players and losing to them, I think was the biggest thing that changed the way I play because now I'm also trying to chase every single detail and refine every single little thing because these little things add up. And eventually, if you're like, 2 points, 5 points ahead of the next person, that does put pressure on them because HD, like you win by getting ahead 1 point or 100 points, 200 points. A win is a win. So there's a lot
Three
of pressure.
points.
3 points. Sorry, sorry, sorry. I'll interview you next season. Yeah, if you win, I'll interview you next season.
Man, we gotta have fun with that, right? It's funny though. And they say pressure makes diamonds, and these guys have applied a ton of pressure to you, and you've been
They're
able to really
insane.
refine your game.
They're absolutely insane. And then I think I've just become like almost insane because of that. And I don't really understand YB that well. He's just some mythical creature. I understand Beck really well because we play like 99% the same. I think his builds are a little bit different, but like our psychology, our game psychology is really similar. But YB is just a mythical creature with like the body of a god and the head of a god. Yeah, the players really, really affect how people learn. If you're open to learning from your enemies, HD is a great, great environment to kind of hone that mentality.
I definitely agree. I know in my own journey, there were people as well that were foils and people who just I looked at and I was like, I want to be like this player, or I think it was like the Sparksters and the Mooses, like back in the day. Like I want to play like these guys. And then you find yourself you know, refining your gameplay, and that's sort of like a theme I use. But you kind of touched on it a little bit, but I do want to sort of serve the community and sort of discuss what you would identify as the major differences between a good player, say someone who finishes, you know, top 15, maybe top 10, versus a perennial contender for the crown. Like, what would you say? And I think, again, I think you touched on this a bit earlier, but what would you say is the biggest difference and what separates these types of tiers?
Yeah, so I think it's mostly attention to detail and discipline. So to have the discipline and the self-control to figure out every single detail that matters and maximize your earnings consistently, you know, over the entire month, that's a great player. And a good player knows the basics, like they know how to build a negative speed wall, they know how that damage needs to be higher than defense in some cases, like that's the basics. So HG has a lot of good players, because I think like the player base is pretty self-selective. Like, you don't want to play an entire season of HD if you're terrible at HD, right? So the most people who choose to play HD have some sort of confidence and familiarity with the game to play HD, right? So the really, really good players are always focusing on the details and figuring out... It's all good. That plate was empty, at least. Yeah. yeah, anyways, the great players are focusing on all the details. The good players are happy with getting like 90, 95% there. But they're always going to lose to people who get to like 99, 100%. And yeah, I think some players this season took really extreme measures to try to go from being good to being great. And yeah, definitely saw that trend in some of the players. It's really exciting because it's just more healthy competition.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's part of that refinement process. I think you have to try and fail and try and fail. And if we look at our individual stories, and I think everybody, anyone listening to this can probably relate that, you know, the process of failure can kind of help refine you and improve. And it's not really considered failure as long as you're actually getting better. Yeah. This is like my jock talk coming as a lifelong, you know, person playing sports and stuff like But it's true. It's 100% true. And
yeah. Sometimes losing teaches you more than winning. Yeah. Absolutely. When you're winning, you're just like, yeah, whatever. I did it. But then when you're losing, sometimes like you're really thinking, what happened to me? You know?
Absolutely.
And, yeah. That's why we have all those twos on our profiles.
Yes. I got 8 of them myself. And I think you got a lot more than that. So, that's
I want to find out how many twos I have. Hold on.
Yeah, absolutely, you should look into that. But you know, speaking of,
yeah,
you know, twos and speaking of Wiltshire, actually the season that we're talking about here, this past one was quite eventful. You're doing everything you could to not finish number two, because there were certain things that happened that made I think each of us think that was going to be our fate. But before all that happened, let's go back to the beginning.
I have almost 20 second place finishes. It's so sad.
20?
I have almost 20.
Wow.
Yeah, so like I control F to place 2, and then I filtered out place 28, place 21, place 24, place 24. So I have 4 of those, and I have 21 results. So I have 17 or 16 second places.
Wow.
So that is how many lessons I received from YB or Beck. Or maybe someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, man. That's, yeah.
Got a private lesson from these kids.
Hey, man. But now you're serving it, right? So, and I've got a couple of those myself. But.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no. So, like, no. It's totally cool. So, you know, part of the drama behind the season was because of certain things happening. I think each of us at some point were concerned that we would get another number two on our profile. And we handled that different ways. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But before we do, I want to sort of go back to 30 days ago, like April 1st. What was the plan going into the season? And how did it evolve? Trying to talk us through it. Like, what changed in it?
Absolutely. So my plan was to do exactly the same thing I did the previous season, but just better. So I know I messed up some of the Archer allocations for last season, and that's what caused me to mentally check out. That was my own fault. I didn't manage it very well. But I knew I wanted to turn them into crit archers. I think crit archers are a little underappreciated, and so I wanted to do that. But more so, I wanted to sharpen my attack selection and make sure I don't just drop points, because that's really depressing to just randomly drop points for no adequately explained reason. And I think I did that pretty well this season. I kept it together, especially when the pressure was, definitely becoming more difficult to manage for everyone. And I just wanted to play in a healthier way because the last one was pretty bad.
that's that refinement again
Yeah.
and learning from that. And so was there anything specific that you felt was crucial? I know you talked a bit about the Archer allocations, and for anyone who doesn't know, we ran more or less the same setup last season where we had three bows, and we had two melees, and we had a mount, but
Yeah.
we allocated, and I agree, actually, I haven't
We
really
both
talked
messed
about
up.
it, but we both screwed up.
Yeah.
We tried to make those archers like regular archers almost, I felt like,
That's a no-no. That's a bad.
and that's just, there's not enough resources to make them viable, not enough archery ranges, not enough gold, not enough a lot of things to make them useful. And so it's funny, as I spied you and I was watching you do the same shit that I was doing, converting these things from like really bad, secondary tertiary archers into like pseudo crit bows. I think we both kind of learned that lesson
Yeah, except it was too
at the
late, so
end.
we lost.
Yeah, exactly. And they were just pseudo crit archers. They weren't even real ones
They
because
were
they had wasted.
Cheech archers.
Yeah, shout out to you, Cheech.
Yeah, shout out to
Gave me that
Cheech.
damn stalemate,
Dude,
man.
Cheech kills
We'll
everyone.
tell.
He one-shot my berserker on one of the last days.
Oof, man, those poor berserkers, man. They took a beating this season from what
Yeah.
I heard. But
Yeah.
speaking of Cheech, he's one of your teammates, Alliance member of
Yeah.
Chicken.
Yep.
And we know a little bit. I can see Achilles talk. Cheech talks a little bit. Obviously, you're active, but you guys are relatively quiet publicly. And so, kind of take us behind the curtain. I'm not sure if Chicken is full this season yet, if you're trying to recruit anybody, but now's your chance. Make the pitch. What is Chicken like? Please do share.
Chicken's a great source of protein. No, we're really chill. We talk strategy, but we don't force ourselves to communicate. Like, this is not school. I'm not the teacher. We're a bunch of adults that are enjoying the game, and we know that we don't owe each other that much besides our friendship and activity in the game. Everyone stays active, everyone's playing, and everyone has their own style and their own voice, which is really cool. We don't have that like big vet vibe that Illuminati has.
Yeah.
Who's considered a vet in our alliance anyways? I'm looking at it. So Achilles, maybe Cheech, myself, Butterfly at this point, Beck, who's new in our team, but like maybe the Rad. But like the other players are relatively new. So yeah, it's really interesting. We don't have too many egos. We ask each other questions and we help each other. It's really chill, no pressure. And
Yeah.
I do act as a leader. I do organize things, but I do it in a not pushy way. I'm not entitled. Like, I don't feel like, again, I'm not an overgrown school teacher. We just have fun together. And this season we have some new faces. We have Beck, who is I think he's one of the best players to ever play the game. Of course, he needs to like finish some seasons, right? But yeah, he's extremely talented, and I really don't understand when people say, "Oh yeah, Beck's not that good," or "I don't get why you think that." Like, if you play a full season with Beck, he'll tear you apart. So he's really, really good. And we have XX 420 Weed Wizard 420 XX. So he was one of the guys. He was.
That's one hell of a name,
No,
man.
it's like this guy was like high out of his mind and like wanted to pretend to be an edgy 13-year-old, like on Call of Duty or something. So,
Yeah, it's
yeah,
giving a
like.
lot of original HD vibes. Like, those are the kind of names we would use back when HD first came out,
Yeah, like
right?
Chicken
Like the
Eater
MSN
3. Like,
Messenger.
yeah.
Yeah.
But Yeah, so this guy was in a one-man alliance, and I think he's famous for defeating Renegade Monk's alliance single-handedly, which is really weird because like usually these one-man alliances farm the bots, right? They farm the multis, but this guy just farmed the humans, and it was really funny. Like I was laughing like crazy reading that log. But those one-man alliances aren't really a thing anymore, so I think he quit the season because he just got really frustrated by the change, but now he's in a real team and looking forward to playing with him. So those are our two new guys, Beck, Weed Wizard, and then yeah, everyone else has been part of the team for quite some time. Yeah, I've been looking at member since, and we've been playing together for a while.
So like a nice tight-knit group, like based on tenure and stuff, and
Yeah. Like we don't have the highest ranked players ever, but the players are solid. They're trying, and we're all really good friends. And I don't think HD is competitive to the point where you need, like, an alliance needs to be like GP 1 through 10. Like, we
yeah.
win our alliance battles just fine. We have friendships just fine. It's great. No problem.
It's also really hard to get, top 10, right? Like for the whole alliance, like that's just
I mean, you were in 15 Reasons to Die. I wasn't good enough to be in there. So.
you, but we weren't top 15 though. I
Yeah.
think I might have been like fifth or seventh or maybe
Yeah.
11th. I was famous for finishing 11th a million times,
I
but
think
like
your guys' market share of like top 10, top 15 was like the highest of any alliance back in the day. Like I
yeah.
know for sure I was filtered out of it because I wasn't competent enough to be in the team. So.
That's unfortunate. It would have been really cool to have you back then,
Yeah. So I
but
was in the original Illuminati because Illuminati was made to kind of compete against 15 Reasons to Die.
oh
Yeah.
yes, it was, man. There's a whole story behind that. I think Donut shared that one on one of our other previous
He
pods,
did.
but
He
for
did.
those who
I
don't
was,
know,
yeah.
the General Urkel pulled a fast one on our guy Donut
Yeah.
and lied to him about how many attacks he had left. I think that's what the story was, and he beat him by like one attack. And so
I think he
Donut
had
said,
one
"Screw
saved or
this."
something. Yeah.
Yes, it was like a saved attack,
Yeah.
and then like he screwed Donut over, and Donut said, "You know what? Screw this. We're gonna build a team, and you guys won. You guys beat us, I think, that season,
I mean,
or one of the
Donut.
first."
I mean, why would you believe
Yeah.
a competitor?
Yeah. Well,
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Urkel, he had this way though. He had a way of talking to you, and like he would kick your ass, but then he'd like put a smiley face at the end of it. And so I don't blame him for falling for it. I don't know if I would, but
That's
he was a
funny.
very charming guy. He had some very good charisma. So
That's awesome.
I did want to say one thing before we move on from the chicken point. I
Sure.
did want to talk about the Beck thing. Beck, if you're watching,
Yeah.
please finish this damn season. You're a
Yo.
fantastic player.
Yeah.
I know it. He knows it.
I know
And I pointed it in the wrong direction, but whatever. We
it.
both know. We both know it. And we want you to finish this season. If you lose an attack, it's all right. Like, it's not your fault. Just blame the script. And just carry on, man, because it's true. I think people just look at the results and see, oh, well, he didn't finish the season. He didn't finish that season. And they didn't get a chance to experience an ass whooping from you. So,
I don't know.
please.
I don't know. He's pretty good. Like, even if he takes long
No.
breaks, he doesn't really miss a beat. And I actually worked really hard to get him here because he told me he would only play if I won. And
Ah.
I want him on the podcast too because he's a cool dude, actually. But he told me he would
Yeah.
only show up if he won.
So how do we get him on the podcast?
Well, he has to win. So, like, first I had to win to get him to play, and then he has to win to
Oh.
be on the podcast.
Oh, okay. I get you. I get you. So to interview him, I get it. Yeah. Okay.
Otherwise, like, I mean, because I asked him like last season, I asked him for his predictions, and like it was really good to see what he thought. But then, yeah, I want him on the podcast too because he's a really interesting dude.
Yeah, no, it'd be great to pick the brains of players like that. I think he is underrated overall, and I think it's just because people haven't had a chance to play with him in that sense. And when
He's
I say
good.
that, it's just because he's quit and the beatdown is not complete. He's beating you up to like buy level like whatever 9 or whatever, then he quits. So please, Beck, finish this season. Yeah, so we'll move on and we'll talk a little bit about the strategies and builds. And I think we've talked about this in private, and I've been very vocal about this because I have a bit of a problem with some of the talk on the Discord
Oh, okay.
about meta and anti-meta. And there's been a lot of talk about, oh, offensive melee are not viable. And we had a player this season finish third place with an entire setup that way. Crush a Demon, shout out to you. You had a fantastic season, and we were talking a little bit on our Alliance Discord today and Illuminati, and I just want to really, you know, recognize that. But I'm leading with that because I want to talk about just the overall variety and setups we saw. When I first came back to HD in January of 2024, it was a weird season. It was like, I think, a 3.5 week season. But the February one, the first sort of full month season, the winning setup was one axe, one bow, and one mount. And that's what you had. That's what I had. We pretty much had the same amount of points, just minus three. And that was the standard. And if you look at the final setups that we had at the end of this April season, we had guys with 4 melee walls, 3 melee walls. We had people with 2 walls and 4 mounted. We had players at buy level 27 and finishing in the top 10, finishing in the top 5. There was just such a wide variety. And I know the game's not perfect. I know that there's still tweaks and adjustments that we need to make. But I really want to like talk about the variety of setups. And so what sort of impressed you the most? Or what did you find challenging to contend with?
Yeah, so those are two different things. I found a lot of the players challenging to contend with, but two of the players really stood out as like sharply creative. And it was one Crush of Demons and 2 Jib. Crush of Demons played a very out-of-the-box setup that had 8 mercs, lots of whipmen, and it was great. He was farming me on a regular basis. I read the logs every day, and I'm just like, damn, I got Shrek'd. You know, there's like no counterplay to, like, if I'm building the way I am and he's doing what he's doing, there's just nothing you can do. You're just getting beat. And then Jib, I think, showed us how you can play by level 27 and top 5. So if you go to the museum and you check out the historical records and you go to the season and you look at offensive win percentage, you'll see that Jib maintained a 100% win rate in attacks, and so did Bagel. Bagel is a newer player on our team that doesn't have any biases from like classic HD, so the way she plays is basically whatever, you know, we explain like how you can play, and just takes her modern sort of like thinking to play. So Bagel did it with 9 attacks, Jib did it with 11, and from what I remember, Jib had 2,000 more points at the end. Both had perfect seasons, but Jib's approach was better because it netted him 2,000 extra points. And so I think, Jib has shown us something that we never really considered before. A lot of people go by level 27, but they're all at the bottom. But perhaps if they played more like Jib, they would have more of a head start. So I think he showed us something really cool. Crush of Demons showed us something really cool. I think those were definitely the more creative players in the season.
I would tend to second that. I know I quit mid-season, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But, you know, I'm really, really proud of Illuminati guys too, by the way.
Absolutely.
Good job to those guys. Salute. Yeah. Again, I just want to highlight and feature like different types of gameplay, because I want people to understand that there really are different ways to do this. You just really need to challenge some of your views that you hold and open yourself up to different possibilities. And like, again, I didn't think that, like, when I think of rushing to buy level 27, I'm thinking, okay, I'm just going to put all my points in the buy level. Well, Jib didn't quite do it that way. He kind of like put himself in a good position, kept himself a rank or two ahead of other people, and then he was able to leverage that by getting to 27 at a reasonable time where he could still do damage. And so that's something that we could probably study and figure out and unpack more. But I think, to be honest, as a critic, I'm looking at it and saying, I don't even know if he executed it to his standard. That guy is one hell of a player, and I think he could have done an even better job with it. So I'm excited to see what's ahead. There's a lot of changes that are coming in this May season that's just started today. Actually, still got to do my allocations to attacks and buy my guys. But it's been really exciting to see how the game has changed, even in a couple of months from when you and I were having a 1-1-1 super lean, please don't crit my executioner season, to what we saw last season, where it still was about critical hits, but there was a lot of different ways people played. And so we want to continue to do that, and we want to continue to take feedback from the community so that we can make this game better. That said, I know we're still talking about this past season of April, and we said we talk about the good and the bad and the ugly. And so we're at the point now to talk a little bit about the ugly. This season had its controversies. There were some exploits for multiple accounts. The merchant was exploited. Gold was purchased, and people felt a kind of way about that. And so as the champion of the season, you get the platform here to say how you felt. So how did you feel about the, first of all, what happened? And secondly, how do you feel about the changes that have been implemented? And just so the listeners know, there is a code of conduct in HD now, which, you know, it's pretty long. I would suggest reading it, though, because everyone's going to be held accountable to that standard if they are playing. There have been changes to the merchant, and the goldsmith's been removed for this May season of Wiltshire. So with that in mind, like, how do you feel about these changes, and how do you feel about the ugly?
Yes. So in order for me to explain how I feel about it, we first have to understand what it is. So I'll give you guys an explanation for what I thought it was. And I think my memory is pretty good about this, because I thought about this on a regular basis, every day this month, or last month, really. And so it's pretty fresh in my mind, so I'll give you a rundown without introducing any bias or my opinion, and then afterwards I'll give you my opinion. So HD is a game of trade-offs. So if you buy Level Rush with many, many attacks, you're going to amass a lot of points, but you're going to be behind buy level, and so you'll reach end buy level slower. If you run 11 attacks, that's an example of reaching buy level slower, but you'll be points ahead. If you rush with 9 attacks, you'll be final buy level faster at the expense of having more points. So there's always a trade-off for the action that you take. So what happened was Azrael rushed with 11 attacks because that's just what he normally does. That's his specialty. That's his thing. Except he also operated 2 accounts that rushed with 9 attacks. And sometime after the 9 attack accounts reached by level 20 and raised some mercs, those mercs were sold and bought by Azrael. So basically he ended up with a huge lead, as if he played 11 attacks, because he did. But he had the strength of a player that buy level rushed with 9 attacks. And that was really hard to contend with, because he kind of got the best of both worlds without having to deal with the trade-offs and the consequences of the decisions. And the timing of this was really interesting, because those mercs were sold before anybody reached buy level 27. And we know that for a fact, because Bagel was the first to reach 27, and those mercs had already appeared in the lineup before Bagel had reached final buy level. So in my opinion, and I think like everyone would agree, those mercs were sold for no real reason, because if you're playing in a self-interested manner, if you're continuing to play the game, you just don't randomly part with your mercs 3 days after you get them and then don't go 27 and quit. Right, so it seems like those accounts raised mercs, sold, quit, and then were picked up by their owner. And to be fair, they were also picked up by other people too, but those mercs shouldn't have existed in the merchant, because if these multis were played in a self-interested manner, then they wouldn't exist at all. And yeah. I think that's what I find the most disagreeable about this behavior, is it really warped the sort of competitive environment around the game, because it's always a contest between, can the 11 attack guys hold on to their lead, or can the 9 attack guys overtake the 11 attackers by using their slightly better strength because they've reached final buy level early. And then this dude just had everything, and you know, he was the final boss. We had to beat a character with literally everything. And that was really unnatural because of the timing the mercs were sold. And to be fair, there was no hard and fast rule saying that you couldn't do this. So it's not like he was doing something obviously illegal. It just felt a little strange and a little misplaced. I wouldn't have done that myself. I don't know anybody who actually would. It really surprised me when he did it, because I didn't expect that to happen. And I think that definitely caused some disagreements. And yeah, I think my buddy Frost felt so strongly about it that he decided not to continue competing against Azrael. But I guess we'll get into that later. If I may ask one question, how did you feel about that? And can you explain like what happened when you discovered that?
So I mean, I discovered it when I was spying him. I actually might have been recording a video at the time, like my attacks, and I noticed a minus sign, and I was like, well, that's really unnatural.
That
Like,
is weird,
he just got to, like, he got to buy level 20. Why is he selling a buy level 20 merc? And I think I actually said it on video. I'll have to find it, but it was weird. So I was watching, and then I looked at him the next day, and I was really anxious to see, like, you know, he's somebody that's in my crosshairs to catch. And I'm like, whoa, how did he get this like level 15 executioner? And so the way I feel about it is just that when we look at the game of HD and what makes it so good, like we're here in 2024 playing, and this game came out like 20 plus years ago. The thing that makes this game so great is it's about choices and decisions, and every choice you make comes with a set of consequences, and what can you do to mitigate those consequences while maximizing the advantages you receive by playing the way you choose to play. So if you're going with nine attacks, you know that you're going to have what I would call the buy level advantage. You're going to be getting to the end buy level faster. You're going to have your mercenaries in tow much sooner. You're also going to be able to set the tone by establishing what you're running. And sometimes people get influenced by that. Whereas Azrael, when he goes with the 11 attacks, he's placed higher. And I always call it the high level versus the buy level advantage. Like, he's a higher nobility rank, but we're a higher buy level. And so there's an equilibrium that exists between those two. And by purchasing mercenaries from a nine attack quote unquote player, aka himself, he sort of removed himself from those consequences while reaping the benefits, which I think destroys the competitive integrity of the season. And that's why I quit. And I was pretty passionate about it because, like, we were never super close, but Azrael's always been in the community. This is a guy who's been playing HD for years, played it well for years,
Champion.
A good player for all intents and purposes. And so I think when I really reflect on it, and I haven't done it outwardly yet, I think it was more so just disappointment. This is, again, a guy who's an important part of our community, and I just expected more. And so, you know, but at the end of the day, like you said, like, this wasn't something that there was no sort of like charter on how to play or
Right.
what you can or can't do.
Exactly.
And so in a way, there is a positive outcome in the sense that we do have one now. And players will be accountable to it. And that doesn't just apply for mercenaries, that applies for like weapons and armor and scouting with you know,
Your
multiple
multis,
accounts
yeah.
and things like that. And so I think at the end of the day, you know, I think we're in a better place. And yeah, just, you know, that's really sort of how I feel about it. And so with that said, like, when we talk about skills and we talk about in-game purchases like the Goldsmith, do you feel like in May that the removal of this Goldsmith is going to make this game better or worse? I have my feelings and thoughts on it, but I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Sure, yeah. So before I do that, I just want to say, like, please don't interpret my commentary on Azrael as like me thinking he's a bad person. The guy is HD. Like, he coached Forshard all season and, you know, coached him to a first. And I think he placed someone else's interests, his teammates' interest, over his own. He's a part of the community, he's very social with us, he's a champion of
Very
HD.
selfless to do that.
Yeah, so like this, he's not some selfish jerk that just, you know, like I don't, like, that's not my opinion. So just, yeah, just want to clear that up. And I know he's on break right now. Hopefully he comes back, plays again with us, because we need all the players, and he's definitely, he's a part of the community. So yeah, buying gold. I had to buy gold to catch up to him. I was down like over 1,000 points at one point, and I'm surprised I even got there, to be honest. Like, I had no idea how I was able to earn 1,000 points against the person that was like roughly equal to me in strength. It was really weird, but this is slightly personal, but as like when you decided you would quit, I actually felt really bad. Like, I usually don't get emotional over video games. Like, this is kind of like our hobby, right? But I actually got very emotional, and I became really, really sad. And I wanted to win the season to encourage you to come back. And so partly why I tried so hard was for you.
Oh man, thanks.
Yeah, I usually, again, like, I don't get personal with video games like this, but that it did feel a little personal because I felt really sad when you quit, because I do really enjoy competing against you. So I had to buy gold to be competitive with Azrael, and I was speaking to Forshard earlier today, and of course I had to apologize to him as well. But then he made a very astute comment. He said, it felt like you guys were playing an entirely different game. And I was like, yeah, actually, that's pretty well put. Like, that dude was juiced beyond belief. I was also juiced because of the gold I bought. And so it did feel like there were two players that were competing against each other in, like, a kind of unnatural way. I guess at this point I should probably apologize to everyone. I don't think the game is pay to win, but definitely paying can help you win. And of course I don't want people to feel like their effort is meaningless because some guy took out his PayPal account or something. But yeah, I did what I had to do in order to, you know, follow my heart to play the season. So I'm really glad the Goldsmith is gone. It's not good for the profitability of the game because, you know, the game needs some income source. So I think our team is working on ways to find that income source that won't disrupt the actual gameplay as much. But I think it's going to be a good thing, especially if, you know, players know that they're on an equal playing field. It'll give people more confidence and it'll give our decisions a lot more meaning, because when we make those decisions, we're making them against their opponents, and we know that they have an equal set of decisions at all times. So I'm really looking forward to it. I felt kind of weird when people said the game was pay to win. I want to show everyone that it's not, and that, yeah, we can all do some really good things under new conditions.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I want to thank you for the sentiment and the, you know, I guess, kind words. You know, I faced that sort of same decision. I think I was like, my archer was level 22 or something like that. I was getting really close to the level 24 arrows, and once I realized what happened, I said to myself, well, shoot, I'm gonna have to buy gold to beat this guy, and even then that's not a guarantee. And I was like, you know, I was just really disenchanted with it. I had had a less than perfect day the day before, and I was a little irritated, but I'm like, you know, I can make up that stalemate, like, that's fine. But then when I saw what happened, I'm like, well, gosh, I'm 1,000 points back, and I just, you know, I quit, and I haven't really talked about this since, but I do regret it. I came up here and said, you know, hey, run through the tape, play through, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I think I was just so fixated on, you know, getting, you know, GP1 that I was like, well, that's kind of screwed, so screw it, I'm done. And
yeah.
That wasn't, I think in hindsight, and I think the only person I actually told other than you was actually my guy, Jamai. I told him that too. I was like, man, I'm sorry. Like, I should have, you know, because I was working with him. And I still did work with him till the end of the season.
That's great.
Doing attacks together, playing together and stuff. But, like, I feel like I did let my team down, my alliance down, and let you down, and let sort of the community down. So I do feel bad about that. Just sort of from my perspective, I, you know, come back to HD. I didn't know what I was doing in January. I lost the season in February in one of the, like, most excruciating ways ever.
I'm sorry.
March, I came back. I was feeling good about that. And then Forshard came out of nowhere and just beat the crap out of both of us. And so it was like going into April, I'm like, all right, let's do this. And then to see that happen, it was just extremely discouraging. But I think I learned something out of the experience. And I'm going to do my best to kind of do, take my own advice, run through that tape, and regardless of the result,
don't
this
Beck.
May. So, yeah, pretty much. I'm sitting here telling Beck not to quit when I just came off a season where I quit. Hey, what kind of, I'm a hypocrite, hey? But,
yeah.
But
that's the only crit we need, though.
Yeah, I'm playing this through, Beck, so you got to do it too.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, in terms of the Goldsmith, I agree. Like, I think, yes, there is a way that can set you apart. And I do agree that you guys were playing a different game.
Yeah. I'm sorry, everyone, about that. That was.
I do agree. But I also think that, respectfully, I don't think it's pay to win. And I think the reason why is because you still need to have good HD fundamentals in order to like build a comprehensive setup, something with clear winning conditions and protection and insurance. And yes, the gold is insurance, but if you're allocating everything to like defense and you have no agility, you can have as much defense as you want. You're still getting crit. So you're still having to balance out certain things. And so again, it makes it much easier. And, but I don't think, and it'd be very interesting if I'm wrong about this, but I don't think we'll see too much of a difference as to the types of players that are in the top 10, in the top 5 without the Goldsmith. I don't think there's a player that's GP15 that is being like gatekept because someone's buying gold. Like, now, how people finish, the order people finish might be different.
Yeah. And it's
but I think you're still going to see the same people at the top 10. Like, it's... Yeah. But that's just one person's opinion.
Yeah, I'm certainly going to try. And of course, it's really hard to know because who knows who's buying gold, right? Because like at the end of the day, you can juice up your mercs, destroy everybody, and then equip normal items to your mercs. And then no one will ever know. So
that's true.
Like, who knows, like, in the top 10, who bought gold and how much gold. All I know is we played this game as 15-year-olds. Now we're grown men with careers. You know, we can spend a little money on our hobbies. And, you know, people have disposable income. It's 2024, you know. So, you know, it could be anyone. It could be anyone at any time. And it's really hard to detect, you know, who's bought what. So I think that uncertainty is also kind of weird. So if there's no Goldsmith, then we're cool.
Yeah, I think removing it is healthy for the game. I'm actually excited. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's great. I echo your sentiments, though. This game is not free. It does need to have some sort of income. But I think it's a good outcome for us because it challenges us to think outside of the box and come up with different ways to propose value to the player base.
Absolutely.
And that just means the game's going to be better, right? Like, we're going to be forced as a development committee that both you and I are on and other members of our community, it's going to force all of us to really think outside of the box and come up with other things that would be, again, a good value proposition to the player base. Like, what are the little things that would make things more convenient? Is there a way that you could pay for data to help you guide your decisions? And we can obviously like sit here and litigate like what makes sense or what doesn't make sense. But like, but the point is, we're going to have, I think, a better game for it. And so I'm really looking forward to going out there and competing with everybody on that sort of, you know, same playing field and really just showing people what I'm made of and just want to see, you know, how people do. So
bring it on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so speaking of bringing it on in this season and all the good upbeat, positive day one energy, what are you most excited for or perhaps concerned about the future of HD?
I'm excited to just play more seasons with my best friends. Like, this is a community that we've been in for such a long time and we've grown up with the game. It's wild. Like, I was 15 or 14. I don't remember. I was really young when I started this. And now I'm in my 30s. And I've, like, literally become an adult while playing this game alongside a lot of other players. So it's a part of my life, and I'm just excited to play HD as an adult because now I have the experience to help the game grow, to contribute to other parts of the game, to make content, to really understand how the game works. And so I think that's like a huge thing I'm excited about. I'm hoping that in the future we can balance the game using more data, but never forgetting the soul of the game. And so I think we have people on our team who really understand the soul of the game, and then people who are really good at quantitative things. So I think combining those is a really good direction. And yeah, I hope the game grows, hope players stay engaged and are encouraged. And I hope a lot of people watch our content too, because it's a lot of fun to produce.
Yeah, could you ever, like, did you ever imagine back in those days, like, having, like, someone sit here and like, you've done, or I've done, or Lance is Lance is actually definitely worth a follow as well if you haven't on YouTube, by the way.
Yeah.
Just watching people actually do their attacks. Like, we always would go on MSN and be like, oh yeah, we won this much, or here's my target list for today. Da, 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 da. Now you can actually watch somebody do it. Like, how cool is that? And
that is
I
cool.
think about HD and sort of what you talked about. And I'm 37 in a couple of weeks, and I grew up playing this game as well. And I think there's a certain bond that a bunch of us feel as OGs, that shared experience throughout the years. And not to get too emotional and stuff, but like, you'd have a bad day and you're in high school and you're having a bad day, but you come home and you do your attacks and you won everything. And you're like, yeah, fuck yeah. Like, I'm good. Like, what else was happening? Oh, at least I won my attacks today.
Yeah. Right. Right?
And sometimes it's like that little stuff in life where it's, and HD's become ironically a big part of my life here now. So like, I've been playing it and making these videos and stuff with you. And my hope for that is that we can continue to evolve the kind of content that we provide. To continue to serve the community. I think that's really the most important thing here, is that we're putting out things that can help the community and perhaps draw more people in, help grow, encourage. I would love to see more people give it a shot themselves. Like, again, you mentioned him and I just mentioned him, but like, really proud of like what a guy like Lance did. Like, he watched your videos, my videos, like Derek's videos, and he's decided on his own that he's going to do his own thing. And I would really encourage other players to do the same. I would be more than happy to watch some of those. And if you have any ideas, even from like a content like standpoint, please like let us know.
Yeah.
Or just give it a try yourself.
Absolutely. Question for you. Who do you want to see make content?
Oh,
like,
man.
Like, Nate, like if you had to pick like two or three people to make content, who would you want to see?
Well, one's very niche.
Okay.
And then just related to this past season that we did, I would have loved to have seen Crush of Demons play.
He's just clicking people and killing them.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of green lines and like a lot of red deaths. Yeah. I call those like the Christmas battle scripts. But
yeah.
Like, I would love to see what he did leading up and how he allocated and sort of get his commentary as to like, you know, what made him think that was going to work. Because when I first saw it, I was like, oh, does he just want to be like GP15 and with a good setup? Or is he like actually gonna make a move here? Yeah. And as he was climbing the standings, I was just like, whoa, like my eyes just like, whoa, this guy's really killing it. So I would have loved to have seen that. Another player, he's a personal favorite of mine, is Jib. I would love to see, you know, this guy play. He is, again, one of the most winningest players as well. Very quirky guy. One of my favorites. That's my guy. We go way back. And there was a point in 2016-17, I think, where we were playing quite a bit and scrolling each other all the time. And I love to actually just sit and chat with him or just hear him talk about the game. I got to flip that question around on you now. And I naturally have to ask you. I think Beck is another person I'd love to see. But I probably just stole that from you. But anyway, please do tell me.
Yeah. So I want to see Jib too, because like, Jib might be YB. I think Jib is YB. But
that's been a rumor.
Yeah, that has been a rumor. I don't really know if Jib is YB, but Jib is good either way. And YB is good either way, and it would be great to see Jib. I think Jib has one of the best visions in the game, just period, ever. Like, the way he visualizes how to play the game is really different. Like, I think, like, if you compare the way I played with Jib, I seem kind of one-dimensional. Not to say my HD mechanics are worse or anything, but, like, in terms of creativity and vision, I'm a little more limited compared to Jib. I want to see Bagel make some content, because Bagel is a relatively new player with almost like no history playing. Like, she's not a vet, right? So it would be really cool to see what like a newer player sees in the game. Of course, I want to see Beck. I think it would look like a reflection of myself, except with like different details that, if I saw, I can be like, okay, this is why you did this. Maybe I can do that too, because I find myself in a very similar position to him all across the game, because we're doing roughly the same stuff. So it would be getting another private lesson, you know, watching his content. It was great to see Shiny make content, but this is for people who like haven't made content ever yet. So I guess we're shouting out Crush of Demons, Jib, Bagel, and Beck.
Yeah, let's see it.
Yeah, let's see it.
Wouldn't mind seeing a four shard video either.
Yeah, four shard and Mystic Caterpillar.
Oh man, Mystic. I don't. just imagine this guy just screaming at you. Yeah. I allocated to agility, motherfucker.
He's nice though. Ever since he became butterfly, he's been really, really like that's that, overly that, nice. Yeah,
that's that refinement process I was talking about earlier, man. That's all that is. Yeah. But I think the last question, 144 related, I would want to ask is, you know, we've talked a bit about your HD. I'm going to use the word career. I know it's whatever, but what do you hope that your legacy will be in this community?
Yeah, definitely. This is like kind of selfish, but you know, when people think of like good HD players, they think of YB. Like it would be nice if people also thought about me a little bit. And yeah, I want to get to that level where people were like, oh yeah, like this guy, like he was solid when he played. It would be really cool to just have that sort of like maybe long-term at least recognition for playing this much HD. But honestly, I just want to be a part of the game. Like even if I'm not playing, if I'm taking a break or if I'm playing, I just want to be a positive influence on players in the community. And I actually was really excited when you said you were like coaching and working with JMI. I was like, man, like that'd be really cool if I can do that too. So if you guys are still watching this video and you're interested in playing with me, let me know. I think I would really like to play closely with just one person. And if they're interested in playing almost exactly like me, I can, yeah, show you how I play the game. And then
slide in those DMs, man. Yeah. Learn from a guy who's won, like I said, three yeah. before this season and second, he's the most out of all active players.
Yeah, my goal is to equal YB by the end of the year. It's possible.
May, June. Oh, if you're cutting York as well, yeah, absolutely, it's definitely possible.
I don't think I'm winning.
I'll have.
I'll probably get second, but
next York, man. But I guess you know we'll have to try to do our best to stop you, and that's in the spirit of the game.
Yeah,
I think there's please you know, do a bunch your best. Of us that are gonna try it and be your foils. Yeah. I'm definitely be one of those.
Yeah,
and looking forward to that. And you know, speaking of the future and stuff, what 145? Do we want to talk about some of the things? You know, it's day one. But,
yeah. Let's do it. So. Swordsmen have been changed. We increased the speed on knives, increased the accuracy on clubs, increased the damage on high-level arrows, and then we rejiggered the levels on the whips to make the curve a little smoother because there was this big gap between 21 and 29. So that's been smoothed out. Stavesman defense was buffed by a little bit to make him survive better. And I think the biggest change is going to be the swordsmen. Now swordsmen are very high HP, high defense walls. They are not very agile. So you basically have three classes of walls. You have the super defense swordsmen. You have like kind of the middle ground axemen. And then you have the super agile rogue. So you have more ways to defend yourself. And I think that's going to cause more players to have to think about how they allocate their archers. Because we designed the swordsmen to block conventional archers really, really well. So they're going to have much more defense than a conventional archer, but then they die to accurate archers pretty easily. And I think that's really cool because then it might force more people to get more than one archer, which makes people get more than four mercs. And I think at that point, you have a bunch of people who are not playing 100% lean. And you just have to see how lean can you go in order to just get your, you know, toe over the line on the last day for making first place. So I think that's going to cause even more nuance in the game. And I'm looking forward to seeing how people get the swordsmen.
Yeah, and sort of to expound on what you're saying. So I think, you know, we look at it from the angle of what you just described as like the typical archer as the offensive mercenary. But I think the other way to look at it too is with more options available for melee defensive walls, that creates more foils on the offensive side for melee as well. And so we just literally again saw Crush of Demons like have a fantastic third place season, And again, if you want to argue the top two players were really juiced up, cool. This guy was extremely successful, and he was able to do with offensive melee. And I think with more mercenaries as options for walls, there'll be more foils. So perhaps someone wants to run a Stavesman, and if Stavesman are effective, then we see more rogues, and then we see more knives, and then we see axes, and that whole like melee ecosystem just keeps turning and turning over. And so absolutely, I think there was a bit of a gap there. And so by making these swordsmen a more viable option, I think that's really kind of keeps things moving. And I did want to shout out my alliance leader, Mr. Donut, for really like putting in a lot of that work to craft the identity of it. And then obviously you and I tested it out. We equipped it and allocated to it in a sort of traditional manner. And we looked at it at the various levels, and we just wanted to ensure consistency with what the identity, the desired identity rather, that we wanted for each mercenary, right? So, you know, I think initially the agility was a touch too high, so it was adjusted to kind of come down a little bit.
Yeah, and we were getting stalemates. You know,
exactly, yeah. Right? And so now, like, you've got a swordsman that can have a crap ton of defense, but it's very susceptible to a crit archer. And
yep.
Likewise, like, you can have a rogue that's super agile, but it still might get reg-hitted by a bow by coincidence on line 496. And yeah, so I think that was one. And did you want to talk about the arrows as well? Because we've had issues the last couple of seasons, and I'll let you finish, or let you go after I finish this point, but we've had an issue with defense where it's scaled extremely high, and we've been trying to figure out ways. And there are, like, I know that there's been talk about, hey, we can change the amount for enhancements and stuff, and perhaps that's something we could look at in the future.
We can still do
but,
that.
But did you want to talk a little bit about like what was done with the arrows?
Yeah, so the problem we were trying to solve was the very real fact that defense outscales damage by a ton when you go past level 30-ish. A lot of the executioners in the previous season were getting so much more defense than archers' damage, and it just became very unpredictable to any given player. Are they going to defeat another player in an offensive? So I think if you're skilled enough to get your archer to a high enough level, you should be rewarded with some arrows that can actually pack a punch when you equip them. So we tuned the damage up a little bit so that archers can actually hit walls more reliably. And I think this is going to impact maybe only the last week or so of the game. Because otherwise, like, archers don't get to that high level. So this is really for the end game to make it more predictable, to reward players that played well enough to get their archers to that level. And I think that's going to make the game a little less frustrating, because I see a lot of people were losing offensives at the end when maybe they believe they shouldn't have lost. And this is just going to make it feel a little better. And if you still lose, you know, maybe that's on you. There's going to be some random chance in the game either way, but the random chance becomes more manageable if you have a better number on the arrows.
I think that's a good, really good way to put it. I think sometimes we get caught up in our own egos, and when we do an attack and we don't get the desired result, even if we are favored, this should be this way. Why is this? I have more agility. Why did he crit me? Like, whatever, right? But, like, I think what you said, your last sentence was perfect, and I think you really summarized that quite well. Was there anything else you wanted to touch on for Wilt 145 before we start playing it?
Yeah, so as I was saying about like quantitative and the soul of the game, so I also wanted to shout out Donut. Like, he understands the soul of the game, and so when you have a person like that on your team, you know that whatever changes are made, they're going to be consistent with how a very high-level developer and longtime player, how the game should feel to the average player. And I think that's really important. You don't want like the data to say like, oh yeah, let's just like do this and have no more feel. So I think we really combined the best of both worlds to make this merc. So hope everyone enjoys it. And of course, we're very open to feedback. So if you have any feedback, you can leave it in a DM, or you can put it in the feedback area of our Discord channel. And we read everything and we consider everything. We're all adults. We're all smart. We've played HD for a while, so feedback is appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely. So if with that said, if there's nothing else, we should probably wrap this up. And if you're still here, thanks for listening.
Yep.
And good luck.
Good
This
luck.
Wilf 145.
Yep.
Not too much luck. I need to have a little bit more than the rest of you.
Yes.
But I'm just kidding.
I pay
Much
Chiefs really
love.
good.
And oh man, I cannot have that stalemate again. That was, and the montage was just like, at the time it was, I was probably a little irritated at the time because it
I'm
was just,
sorry.
I just noticed the Azrael thing and I had this stalemate. Oh man, like this sucks, whatever. But you got to be able to laugh at yourself and
Yeah,
have
I
a good
made that
time
video.
with
I'm
it.
sorry, guys.
No, that's all good, man. It was pretty damn funny. In the moment I didn't appreciate it, but after it aged pretty well, and I think it's pretty freaking hilarious. So
Yeah, it shows up on my YouTube as a suggested video sometimes, and I just watch it because it's funny.
Well, what was so cool about that was like, it was an organic reaction, right? I just put the camera on and then I play. And so
Yeah, I had two more
that's my
videos.
reaction to a loss.
Yeah, I had one where Lance says, like, I want to kill his babies. And then I have another one where, like, you think you have enough accuracy to archery range and you miss like seven in a row.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, I
That
clipped that
was.
too, but I didn't post either of them yet.
Oh man, you know what? Send it to me. We should probably get that up because I was pissed. I was like, and I actually was thinking that subconsciously. I'm like, oh man, I look like an idiot right now.
Yeah.
Like it was like, I might have had like what 100 and it was like 139.
It
It
was up
was
there.
borderline, but it wasn't high enough. And I
Yeah.
lost a bunch. And it's funny, I had gone to the 90 meters because I was watching Lance's video again, consuming other content. It's really really great. And he had done this really cool exercise where he was measuring his success at the archery range. And I'm like, oh, this kind of empowered me to give it a try. And it didn't work out well. It worked out better for Lance than it did for me. But
Yeah.
it's funny, he actually messaged me after watching that video and seeing that happen to me. He's like, oh man, I'm so sorry. I'm like, hopefully it works better for you tomorrow. And
Yeah.
again, that just speaks to the kind of guy Lance is. He didn't have to message me like that, but he's really kind. So
Yep.
shout out to you, John.
Yep.
And if there's nothing else, let's wrap it up. And again, thanks everybody.
Yeah.
Good luck this season.
Yep. GG guys, and
And
let's play another one.
yeah, absolutely. Thanks again. We'll be back soon.
Yep. Later.